This is a Clearview podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Carpe Manana, the show where we talk about how to capture tomorrow today. Thank you so much to those of you who tuned in on the radio, those of you who are listening on your favorite podcasting platform. Really appreciate you guys joining the conversation. And while you're there, make sure you leave us a rating and a review. It helps us to stay visible and helps you to stay connected with all of our future content. Guys, we want to start this episode the same way we do every week, introducing ourselves and saying what we do here at Clearview. Maybe we have some first-time listeners joining us. We want you to get to know us better and know about what we do here at Clearview. So to my right is...
I'm Abidan Shah, and I'm in charge of preaching and leadership at Clearview. And to my right...
I am Kelsey McKeel, and I am in charge of kids ministry and theater here at Clearview. And to my right...
My name is Rebecca Shaw. I'm in charge of administration and kids ministry here at Clearview. And to my right,
John Galantis. I'm in charge of worship and media here at Clearview. And to my right,
David Williamson. And I'm in charge of student worship and technology here at Clearview. And to my right,
Ryan Hill. And I'm in charge of congregational care and student ministry here at Clearview Church. And guys, we want to talk to you today about something that is very important to us. You've heard us maybe mention this sometimes on the podcast, but as a staff, we go through books recommended by you, Dr. Shaw, that help us kind of solidify these principles of what it means to be a leader, what it means to work as a team, and how we can take our leadership and our teamwork to the next level. And the one we want to talk to you about today is kind of a revolutionary book that I think struck a chord for all of us.
Definitely.
It's a book called Creative Followership. And Dr. Shaw, would you kick it off and just kind of let us know how you came across this book? What led you to this as our next book to go through as a staff?
Well, this was a couple years ago, if I'm not wrong, that I was at a used bookstore. And I was just walking around, and I went to the leadership section and saw a book titled Creative Followership by Jimmy Collins. Now, those of you who do not know who that is, Jimmy Collins was sort of a right-hand man to Truett Cathy, mm-hmm. the founder of Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Chick-fil-A is everywhere, and it's doing some amazing business, and they operate with certain Christian values, and of course, the major one being not open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are other things they do, too, that that kind of characterize that business everywhere. And whether you're a Christian or not, there's a certain level of excellence that you expect from Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy Collins was one of those men who was in the early days of Chick-fil-A, when Chick-fil-A was really taking off, was very instrumental in being that right-hand person with Truett Cathy.
Right.
And so I came across that book, and I had heard of, I had already read Truett Cathy's biography or autobiography. I've read that. I have read his a book on generosity. And then I came across this one, and it had the Chick-fil-A look to it, and of course, the symbol on it. And I felt like, oh, wait, maybe I need to try this book. What does that mean? And I couldn't put it down. It was over Christmas break, and I finished it. And it was a great book, one of the best books I've read.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny when you, like, introduced the book. You were like, yeah, I have a book that I want, you know, us as a team to read. I want us to kind of really get to know the principles, to get familiar with it. And you said it's by Jimmy Collins. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Built to Last guy, or the Good to Great guy. Yeah, and then no. I was like, wait.
Jim Collins, Built to Last and Good to Great, mm-hmm. and I think How the Mighty Have Fallen or something like that. He's written some other books too, but that's a different Jim Collins, just in case you guys are working.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that, because Ellie bought Good to Great, and I saw the name, and I was like, oh, cool, it's the same guy that did Creative Fellowship.
No,
different guy.
This is very different people.
Very different, okay.
Jimmy Collins, more than likely, I think that's his only book.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's another one that he's written. Maybe there is. I just don't know.
I think Ellie bought that thinking, because she saw me reading this, and she was reading it a little bit with me, and I think she liked it, so she bought From Good to Great thinking it was the same.
Well, just to make a quick statement, I mean, Good to Great came out right around September 11th.
Okay.
You know, 9/11.
Yeah.
And sort of after that, you know, how the businesses kind of crumbled and crazy things happened, and so. Good to Great is a really good book, mm-hmm. But this one is a very different one.
Yeah. I think it was really cool talking about how he kind of came up starting his own business as a kitchen design consultant. Mm. And eventually worked his way up to president of Chick-fil-A. But at the same time, he also is talking about how you don't need to, even though I'm the president of this company, I'm still a follower to Truett Cathy. Mm-hmm. I'm still creating his vision. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something in leadership books that you don't really see very often, because a lot of leadership books, I feel like, are trying to get you in that mindset of being the head honcho. You're the top dog. If you just apply these principles to your life, that's where you'll be. But Jimmy Collins kind of takes this other route and says, no, that's not ever what I even wanted to be.
That's right.
I always wanted to make Truett Cathy's vision come to life.
Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't always the way he thought.
Right. Yeah.
And many of you maybe can kind of, some of you can kind of dive into this or jump into the conversation. You know, he was going to, you know, do his own thing and mm-hmm. be his own boss, until one day he realized being his own boss is not all that is cracked up to be, or yeah. being the top dog is not necessarily, you know, everybody's calling. And that's where you learn how to fire the boss, which is really fire yourself.
That's right.
I think when we were reading it, if I'm not wrong, maybe I am, he started his entire career at a young age, like picking tobacco and doing that kind of stuff. Then he moved up and he had his own kitchen design company, I believe, where he kind of went in and consulted with restaurants and would make kitchen designs. And somehow I think he got hooked up with Truett when they were still like the very first Chick-fil-A.
Right. Yeah, it was store design. He was looking to open a store.
It's still just, I think it was a dwarf house, and maybe a few Chick-fil-A restaurants were coming up. Maybe. I'm not quite sure about the exact timeline there.
Yeah. Because I know from my Chick-fil-A history, dwarf house is the first. And then they opened a few other freestanding, but they mostly got into the mall game. And then they would open up stuff. And I think that he
helped. They were the first restaurant in a mall.
Yeah, they were the first restaurant in a mall.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that.
And I think that Jim Collins actually like designed a lot of their kitchen stuff for like the mall designs.
Yeah, one of the principles that I really liked in this book was the principle about how you should try to do the things that your boss doesn't like to do, which is very interesting to me, because there's just, it's a very selfless and humble thing to be able to take on. And I feel like a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Well, one reason is because in our culture, we're taught, you know, you be the boss, you own your company, and all those things are good and very idealistic. Except in real life, we're not all built the same way, right?
Right.
And there's just things that maybe I do better than someone, or maybe they do better than me. Mm. So you just got to balance each other out in the workplace.
Yeah. I love where he talks about the difference between a follower in this sense, being a creative follower, and being a worker. Because those are two different things, but I feel like a lot of times we make them synonymous in our minds. A follower is somebody who just kind of blindly plugs along after someone in front of them and, you know, does little tasks along the way to keep the cogs running.
Right.
Workers are important, but followers are something that's different. Followers are something that contributes to the overall health of the organization, contributes to the vision, and helps the organization run after the vision of the leader.
Well,
followers make
passion.
The leader look good.
Yeah, they put the same passion as the leader. Mm-hmm. And they want to see that ultimate reality, or the ultimate vision, become a reality. So it's different than just coming in 9 to 5, clocking in and clocking out. Okay, I'm here to do my shift and that's it. Like, you could be a really higher up in a company and still be a worker. It's not about the actual tasks that you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's about where your mental state is.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most powerful statements in that book that really resonated with me, that's the only reason I really remember it, is that being a follower doesn't mean that you're weak, because to be a follower to a good leader or a great leader means that you have to be just like on that level or in that ballpark. You can't just be a follower to somebody that's way up here, like in the clouds, and be down like on the ground still. You still have to be in their level, which was something that I was like, okay. I mean, that is something I never thought of, because normally when you think of a follower, you think of a sheep, somebody who doesn't really think.
Well, you know, the way I see it is this example is not in the book, but this is just something that I was thinking when you were speaking, is like a soccer team. Mm-hmm. And some of you may have kids or grandkids on a soccer team. They have different positions. And one of the positions is the striker position. You know, I'm a striker. Now, that sounds very cool, man, you are a striker. It means you are, and one of my sons is a striker on his soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's cool. But everybody else has to contribute just as much mm-hmm. to make that moment happen.
Right.
Not just a striker taking it from the goal line all the way to the other goal line. No, you have the goalkeeper. He has to be on task. And then the defensive players to be on task. And then the forwards. And, you know, everybody does their part.
Right.
And many times I've asked him, it's like, did you score any goals? No, but I passed it on to this guy and he did. Mm. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's part of what it means mm-hmm. to be that striker, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I always love that because you've created that model here at Clearview where we are covering for each other's weaknesses and we're setting each other up to succeed, you know, based on our strengths.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I really loved about this book was how he talks about choosing your boss. You don't really ever choose your job.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're choosing your boss because your work isn't really going to change. Your tasks aren't going to change, but your attitude and your relationship with your boss is ultimately what's going to drive how you do that job.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, you know, he has this really undying loyalty to Truett Cathy. And he says that people choose a leader because they share that unifying purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believed in Truett Cathy, but more than anything else, I believed in his vision to sell great chicken sandwiches and to become one of the greatest chicken restaurants in America. I wanted that too. And so I chose to follow him.
That was something that when I first read it, it kind of struck me like choose your boss. I was like, what is he talking about? That you don't get to choose your boss. You apply and then your boss is your boss. Along with the like fire your boss aspect. They're those headlines that you read and you're like,
yeah,
what is he talking about? Right. But then when you get into it, it makes perfect sense. And if people I think could grasp those concepts, they would be much happier in their field of work and their career choices. They would be much more in tune with what it is that they're pursuing and the vision that they're chasing after.
Yeah, I really like the point as well where it says the harder you work, the more responsibility you're going to take on.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't think about. You think that the harder you work, you know, all the other responsibilities are going to go to the lower people.
But that's not true.
No, the more they can rely on you, the more they're going to give you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, even if you work harder, your responsibilities might change, but it never lessens. So, yeah, you might take something that you're doing here and pass it on to somebody that might be, and I don't say this because it sounds bad, but I don't mean it bad. Like, you might pass it on to a lower level worker, but that doesn't mean that you're not doing just as much work. Because now, not only do you have to do your work, you have to make sure this person's getting this work done because that's still your, yeah, exactly.
It's still your responsibility, uh-huh. even if it's not your task anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things he talks about also, see, when you get that title creative followership, it seems like he's only teaching you how to follow someone. But all of these principles that he gives really work well for leadership as well.
Yes.
Just because you're not, you're following someone doesn't mean you're not also leading a lot of other people's.
Mm-hmm.
Like he talks about, and something you told me about very early in my time here at Clearview was, you know, Mustangs and mules, like kind of mm-hmm. the difference between how do I lead people. And if you read the book, he'll go into in depth, but he's also telling you a lot about how to be a leader in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, the lessons that really I appreciated and I felt like our team needed to learn that because this is so, again, contrary to what we're taught growing up. You know, we think, for me to give into someone else's vision
mm-hmm.
would be to lessen my life. Like, I'm going to help you build your vision? I mean, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And that was one that really spoke to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it doesn't have to be like it's less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we would all in this room agree that, you know, it's more than just we are in charge of our respective areas here at Clearview. Like, you handle this and I handle this and you handle that over there. And it's just these different spheres that are kind of coexisting. But everything that we do is pursuing the vision that you've laid out for us, Dr. Shaw, in pursuing, you know, a church that is honoring God, a church that is reaching the lost, a church that is discipling people. And everything that we do, while it might be different tasks, it's all driven after that one vision, which I think makes a unifying sense, not just for us, but for volunteers. It's kind of like a trickle-down effect.
Yeah. And I think that it's important for bosses and leaders to read this book because it also teaches, you know, what kind of followers you're looking for. Yeah. But also, even leaders and bosses are following someone.
Yeah, right. That's true.
There's never, I feel like there's just like this linear line of leaders and bosses. Like, you never are not following someone, something. Like, even the president of the United States, he's doing what's best for United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's always someone.
Yeah, I mean, same here at Clearview. You know, we have leaders at Clearview, you know, who are in charge of finances and building and those kind of things. So it's not just like, you know, the, this group right here that you're hearing from on this radio show, the staff at Clearview are the only ones. No, that's not true.
Right.
There's accountability there.
Mm-hmm.
And it feeds off of each other. And ultimately, our vision is to the gospel.
That's right.
To Jesus Christ. And so we're following that line.
Yeah. And I think it's important, Dr. Shah, that you laid out that vision, because it is, like you said, there is this kind of unspoken cultural expectation that, okay, I'm going to spend my early 20s and maybe my 30s making your vision come to life, but at some point, I need to be the top dog. Someone needs to be making my vision come to life. And it's very foreign for us in America, I think, to think about the idea that I'm going to spend the rest of my life making this guy's vision come to life because I also believe in it. People don't think that way.
Right.
Yeah, because
that's something that you've taught us before, though. Like, if we're going to go after our own vision, have people work for us, are we willing to be our own bosses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big responsibility.
Not only that, but if you think about it, so either I can work here for 10 more years, get a bunch of experience, then go off on my own, cast my own vision, do my own thing, and now I'm in my 50s and 60s, and I'm just now arriving at where I was when I left. Yeah. Or I could be on board with this vision and make it so much farther than I ever would by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the whole purpose behind it.
Yeah. It's not a wasted life to impact people. Whether it's your dream or your vision or someone else's, when you're impacting people and when you're, you know, you're seeing people come to the gospel and you're seeing lives transformed, that's not a wasted life just because it wasn't my idea.
Yeah. People ask us, how is Clearview laid out, the leadership part?
Mm-hmm.
I am, as Pastor Shah or, you know, Dr. Shah or however people refer to me, I am a leader among equals.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes me the leader is the vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not by virtue of a position or authority or I get to do more stuff. Yeah, I mean, you can do that. You can think that way, but those are not very tangible reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vision. Mm-hmm. What are we trying to go for? You see, and once the team understands that and they go, oh, no, it's not about a hierarchy. This is not about, oh, he's the top dog. It's about the vision. And then the question to each of the staff is, are you happy with this particular vision? And the vision is to build God's kingdom. The vision is to reach the lost world, to impact our community far away, you know, in the mission field. A vision is to capture technology, everything we can to reach the world with the gospel and make the most impact we can in the brief lifetime we have. That's the vision. And then the question is to each person who joins the team is, do you want to be part of that?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, okay, well, let's build it.
Yeah.
And in the process, your families are going to be blessed. And in the process, you're going to have a great work experience. You know, you're going to learn things. You're going to do things. You're going to write books, write songs. We just have a song come out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Link in the description.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. The Gathering by Clearview Worship.
Exactly. We have an amazing apologetics series starting at Clearview for youth. And it's going to be modeled after the People's Court. It's called the Students' Court.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really exciting.
You get to not only teach children how to, or students how to defend their faith, but do it in a courtroom drama type environment. We're going to be live streaming that.
Yeah.
And you like theater, right, Ryan?
I do.
Well, you get to be the star of your own show.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Dream role.
You know, you get to produce Wizard of Oz, Kelsey. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can catch that vision, then it's not hard to go, okay, I want to go with your vision rather than, no, I'm going to make my own. And one day, everybody's going to call me boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, and the circling back to what we've talked about, firing your own boss. You told us before, Dr. Shaw, that whole idea of being your own boss, of being the one in charge, but casting the vision, that's such an idealized concept. But not very many people are built that way. I mean, even if you were to attain that through hard work and determination, you might not even actually want that. You might not realize what it is that you're pursuing. When many of us, I know for myself personally, I'm much happier to be a creative follower that comes alongside a vision that's in place and enhances and drives toward a established destination. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not about being subservient. It's as you're getting your fulfillment.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know your greatest desire is to see a family succeed and be happy. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that. Your desire is to impact students. You're seeing that. You're a counselor. Mm-hmm. You get to counsel. And you get to take part in so many other things like worship and theater. And, you know, it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of with you because I feel like that's something that I had to be taught that I wanted, even though I didn't want it. I never wanted to be my own boss, but that's something that people just put in your mind that, mm-hmm. of course, that's what you want. That's what you should want. No one should be telling you what to do. No one should be lording over you. This is your dreams, your vision, your everything. But and when you hear it all your life, especially when you're a little kid, you can do whatever you want to be. No one can tell you no. You're the only one who can tell yourself no. Then you start to be like, yeah, that is what I want. Mm-hmm. Until you actually become a creative follower and you plug into something that's already in place, the foundation of which is already laid, and then you start to realize, if I was doing this on my own, I would have nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
I wouldn't have any followers.
And I'm not even built that way.
Yeah.
And it gives you the space to be creative and to like flex those juices in your brain, so to speak, you know, because you have the security of your team around you to support you when you fail or support you when you make mistakes, and also to celebrate those wins. And you come together to create something that's bigger and better than anything that you could have ever done on your own. And it's all still pursuing that same vision and all of you funneling together to work together to create something amazing.
Without the burden of, now I got to raise my funds.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Now I have to worry about where's the money coming from?
Yeah.
Imagine being able to do those things, but, you don't have to worry about the money part. It'll come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just do this. Just make this thing the best you can. Okay, got it. Here are the resources that can help you make mm-hmm. that happen. Great. All you have to do is sign into this vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when people go, I want to be the, okay.
Yeah.
But then you lose it all.
Yeah. Yep. You didn't get it. You missed it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Kelsey.
I believe that churches should be reading this book as well as businesses, because it is, you know, catered towards businesses, business owners, people that are working for a boss. But I think that church teams should also read this book, because there's a lot of really great, and you've heard some of them, some of the really good principles in here that I think that churches need to use in order to have a successful church and to reach and to save lives. You need to be able to follow,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow the pastor, follow whoever is in charge of you.
Yeah. And I think one important thing on that topic is to be able to follow in the way that we're talking about, and to really apply these principles. You need to have a vision and you need to have that strong leadership. And that's something that I really appreciate about Clearview's, just the culture and the vision and the leadership that you've created here, Pastor Shaw.
Well, I thank God for that, because that's how He has built me. You know, this is not something that I asked for. It's something that God just carved out in me as I was growing up. Being able to lead in my school, and then coming here, working in a ministry that was very small, and then having to, you know, lay out the foundation or till the soil, whichever imagery you want to use, mm-hmm. and then to learn leadership. And I've been in environments where it was very difficult leadership. So all those experiences are providentially been done in my life. You know, God did that so that I could become that kind of a leader who can, create this vision and then draw people who can come and say, yeah, I want the same thing too. And I see all the things that I desire in my life and my family. I see them. I want that.
Yeah. And I think because you've done that work, because you've built that foundation, then we can take risks. We can take risks now and be creative followers. Whereas before, if we had come on, you know, before that happened, or if we had jumped the gun, or if we had tried to do the same thing, but over here doing our own thing, it never would have happened. And we would not be right. able to take risks.
We have the safety net of the vision supporting us from underneath.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that Jim Collins hits on really is that you have to choose your boss. You have to choose a leader that you can align yourself with. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've all done that with you because we've seen the vision, because we've seen the success that God has given us. I think it makes it, you know, very easy to do that.
Yeah. Right. And as we can say, the proof is in the pudding.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And this is a God-made pudding. And it's really sweet.
Actually, yeah. if you guys want, there is some banana pudding in the back. If y'all want, yes. y'all want to do like a little post show okay. banana pudding.
Right. You're not joking, are you?
I think Miss Alice brought it this
okay.
morning.
Oh, it's right. the best kind.
Yes.
I don't want to be yeah. the bearer of bad news, but I think that was from Sunday. I don't think she brought it.
Is it still good?
Oh, no.
Truly so sorry.
So that's not the God-made pudding. Truly this is so the God-made yeah, pudding.
But we do have the God-made pudding right here.
That's right.
Dr. Shaw, you mentioned something a second ago, how sometimes it can be difficult to be a leader. And I think that that might be when a person finds themselves in a situation where everyone in the group is trying to be the leader versus like one person being the leader that everyone else is, you know, being that creative follower towards. If everyone's being the leader, all kind of playing tug of war against each other instead of everyone working together to build that vision together as a team.
Have you guys seen that in your life experiences, in situations, or work without identifying any
right.
names?
Yeah.
Have
oh,
you
shoot.
Seen
I,
that?
I've
put
seen
your list
that.
Away.
I've definitely seen that in, you know, various workplace environments or even just organizations that I'm part of. When you have people who step up and try to fill that leadership role or who disagree with the leadership that's there and they try to kind of they undermine and try to establish their own vision or try to establish their own goals and get people alongside of them, well, then you have a fractured organization. You have yeah, people who are yeah. pursuing this vision, or you people over here are pursuing this vision, people who are here just trying to not make waves and get the job done. And it productivity goes way down
yeah.
and creativity
yeah.
goes down too, because you don't have that freedom where you know your destination, so I can kind of spread my wings, so to speak, and be creative and try new things because I know where I'm headed. Now I don't know where I'm headed, so I'm afraid to take risks, so I'm going to play it safe.
Yeah, you can't, because this is from another book that we've read, and I don't want to, you know, get into a whole nother topic, but you can't have that creativity when you are trying to guard yourself and you're yep. trying to be guarded.
Yeah.
You have to be open and you have to be authentic to be able to actually have that creativity actually flow. And in organizations that might have a fracture like that, or, you know, in the past, places that I used to not work, but places I used to be at would have that. Somebody here is leading here. Somebody here is leading over here. They both have ideas of where they want to go, two different groups of followers. Now, instead of being able to lead fully and have everybody give their input, this person over here is saying, hey, we can't talk to these people over here. We have to do this right, because if we look like fools to these people, then we're going to be diminished. So you can't have that true creativity right. and that true
yeah.
innovation, because you're trying to save face, really.
Yeah, you all your creative thoughts are now being used on, oh, how do I do this? It's all about strategizing against the other team, so to speak, yeah. as right. opposed to everyone working together and coming up with creative solutions towards whatever problem that you're ultimately trying to solve.
And I'm going to say something that you may have to edit out. I'm not really sure. Okay. But growing up, I watched my dad, you know, with trying to find someone to help fill in positions in the church. You know, growing up, we've been in the ministry for 22 years.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of times where someone would get hired and then it wouldn't end well or whatever. And, you know, my dad would try to explain it to me about what happened. I didn't fully understand what had happened until I read this book and I fully understood. Like, they wanted that leadership position. They didn't want to follow. They didn't know how to follow. And so I am grateful for the team that we have today, because I feel like we all are getting to the point where we know how to follow well. You know, I think it took a while to find that, but it was a...
And thank you for bringing that up. Actually, that's a great point. And that allows me to now take that seat of one among equals. You know, because until that is going to be the case, it's very hard to go, okay, yeah, I am just a leader among equals. I have to be upfront. Yeah. I have to be leading by, you know, really charging and making it as clear as possible that, yes, I am the leader and this is the vision that cannot be altered. But now it's the more and more our team is becoming one with that concept of that vision. Yeah, it's much more relaxing for me. Has been for the past, I don't know how many years now or months or whatever, where I feel like, yeah, these guys get it.
And reading books like this help us to learn how to lead alongside each other as as fellow creative followers. You know, when I've served on other teams in the past, what I've seen is that there's one central leader and then other people who are in a creative follower position, but because they're all equals, there's conflict. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for instance, like Ryan and I would say, and pretty much all of us, we are, like you said, leaders among equals. But when I'm going and I'm helping out in Illuminate, I don't start pitching my ideas, and then when Ryan's like, no, that typically we do it this way, you can't just be like, hey, you and I are the same. So right. I got just as much clout here as you. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people do that in other teams. But I think in reading books like these and in just spending time together, knowing each other's strengths, knowing each other's weaknesses, and knowing that we're in charge of these various ministries for a reason, because that's how God's built us under your vision, because we've all bought into that vision, it makes it much easier and much smoother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, being a leader among equals doesn't mean that we don't have to, in our various ministries and in our various roles, have to submit to the other people time and time again.
Well, we need the other people.
Yeah, certainly.
Absolutely. That's exactly, I mean, you brought up a good point, and I'm not trying to rehash that, but in the praise team, I'm not going to be like, all right, guys, I'm just as much of a leader as John. Y'all listen to me. I'm like, no, I'm going to defer to John because he's the leader there.
Yeah.
Or if there's in the Illuminate with Catalyst, I'm like, hey, Ryan, what do you think I should do here? Because ultimately this is, you know, Catalyst is under your like authority. So what should I do here? Even though I know that at the end of the day, we're all pushing for the same goal. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we're all striving and we all are leaders. I don't want to be the one calling the shots in those ministries because that's not, I'm not put there to do that.
But it's like Dr. Shaw said, though, it's not about who's calling the shots. It's about needing each other.
Right.
Because, yes, I'm leading the worship team, but when it comes to, like, designing the stage for our concerts, I can't do that. Right. I rely on Rebecca and Kelsey for that.
Right.
That's where they're talented. That's where they come in. So when they come in, you know, of course they'll say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But how foolish would it be for me to be like, hey, everybody, I'm doing this. They're helping me. No, I'm relying on them.
Yeah.
So I think that's where all of this comes together, is because ultimately when they take charge of the stage and what it looks like, and I'm taking charge of the musicians and you're taking charge of the videos and the stage hands and Dr. Shaw ultimately with the vision and the videos and the content that we're creating, ultimately we make one awesome package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's displayed perfectly. You guys can't see it, but we'll link the book in the description so you can check out what the cover looks right. like and pick up a copy for yourself or for your team. There's an icon on the book, and it's of an arrow with lots of smaller arrows within it. It's a great picture of what creative followership is, because it's a bunch of different arrows all falling under the same direction and same leadership of the one main arrow. Mm-hmm. It's just that picture of those creative followers coming alongside the leader, coming underneath that vision and all driving in the same direction, not splintering off to the left or the right or diagonally this way or backwards. Everyone is going in the same direction at the same time, and we're all pursuing the same goal. So I love that. Even just that image, I think, plays into the theme of the book.
That's right.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Like we said, check out the description box below to a link to Creative Followership. It's a great book, great resource for you guys, especially church teams. We encourage you guys to pick up a copy for you and for your team. Read through this. I promise you will benefit from the principles there, and it will help take your organization to the next level. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. If you have any questions about anything we talked about in the episode, send us an email to carpemignana@clearviewbc.org. We love hearing from you guys. Read every single one. We love knowing what you're taking away from the conversation. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same station. And if you're not already, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time on Carpe Mignana.